In this episode, we're going to talk about animation versus live action and which is right for your video goals. It's going down right here, right now.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery. Brought to you by Wirebuzz.
What is up? What is up? An important topic today on the podcast. We're going to be talking about animation versus live action videos and when to use them. And you know, a lot of video creators treat animation as a matter of preference, but there's so much more that goes into it than that. Animation has clear advantages and it has very startling disadvantages. So you got to determine when you should use it, and we're going to talk about that today. So to join me to discuss this important topic, Wirebuzz's Director of Strategy, Marcus Krieg, joins me. Usual greeting.
Usual greeting.
What is up?
What is up?
All right. I know you like that.
I know. It's my favorite.
All right. So
I started doing it early, and I was like, I might as well keep doing that.
Yeah, yeah. Marcus, when we're detailing out a client's project, often they approach us saying, we need this type of video. But then once we start discussing it with them, the reality is maybe animation makes more sense, right? I mean, you see this happen.
Yep. I've seen it both ways. Clients who will come to us and they'll think, hey, I need this really cool live action video. Here's my budget. We look at it and we're like, whoa, you're never going to get a live action video with 5 actors and 8 locations. It's just not going to happen within your budget. In those cases, we'll say, hey, you know what? We can tell that same story using animation. It's going to be much more affordable. It's going to fit your budget. Sometimes we see it the other way, where someone comes to us and they're like, oh, we need an animated video. And it's like, you have a physical product. Your product does something in the real world.
Right.
Why would you hide that behind animation? Procter & Gamble has made billions of dollars by demonstrating proof using live action video.
And I think the reason is somebody told them, oh, we need to create an animation video. So when they approach us, they're like, hey guys, we need an animation video. And maybe they haven't really dissected it yet. And I think there are definite advantages to either way. You just have to flush out which one's going to maximize the advantages for your video project.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that what happens a lot of the time is people don't have a big enough picture understanding of the different types of videos you can create and what those advantages and disadvantages are. And so then they'll hear something like, oh, well, animated videos hold people's attention for longer because of all of the moving pretty pictures. And then you think, oh, well, I need people's attention, and that's one of the advantages of video. I must need an animated video.
Dude, check this. I actually think they don't come asking for an animation video. I think they come asking for a whiteboard video where somebody's hand is
yeah,
drawing
or they're drawing.
Something.
Yeah, that happens a lot too. But really, I mean, that's just another type of animation.
Right.
But yeah, there's a lot of people who are coming to us looking for an explainer video model that is 8 years old.
Right.
And everyone and their dog did it. And they're all using the same programs to create the graphics and the animations.
Yeah.
So it doesn't look good. It looks like something that everyone else can do.
What about the person that approaches us and they want to show us proudly their $50 animation video that they had created through some type of tool, right? And they want us to create something similar. And then we look at it and we're like, that is so outdated. We're the wrong team for that. We're looking to create something that's contemporary, something that's fresh, that resonates with your brand, has the right quality and messaging. And so we have to kind of sift through those things.
Right. You don't want, look boilerplate or cartoony or anything like that. And it's very easy to get into that territory when you start exploring animation. Just a lot of misunderstandings, misnomers, thinking that there are advantages you're going to capitalize on without understanding or recognizing what you're giving up.
Okay, really good point. So let's dive into this. Let's start with the advantages of animation. And really, what are they and when should they be used? And then once we do that, we'll kind of flip this around and look at it from the other angle.
Sure.
Make sense?
Yeah.
All right. So what are the advantages of animation?
Well, I would say that probably the biggest advantage to using animation is that it helps you simplify complex topics. So if you're explaining something well, here's a classic example, your railroad tracks metaphor. When you're talking about needing to make sure that each piece of content fits together in a sequence that leads people towards the sale, you use a railroad track metaphor to explain that idea to clients. The reason that that metaphor works is because you have attached an important but complex idea to something people already understand. You're striking a metaphor in order to enhance the explanation. Now, if you were going to do that in animation, you can very easily build the story on the screen to construct a visual representation of what you're explaining. That does not work if you're just sitting there talking to camera. So when you're really getting down into something complex, nothing is better than animation at simplifying that complexity.
And you can simplify the complexities and show iconography and do it in a very affordable way.
Yes. Now, a typical example where we would see a client trying to simplify something that's a little bit more challenging to understand from just the words would be the outcomes data videos that we do for a lot of our clients in the healthcare space. Mm-hmm. So you have a formal research study or a research paper or a clinical trial, and then you need to deliver those results in an easy-to-understand, easy-to-digest format to your prospects, right? Because they're not going to just use your product without knowing that it's effective, but they're also probably not going to read your 50-page research paper either.
All right. Now, for those that are listening that aren't in the medical space, an outcomes-based video could also be a case study. It could be anything about your product where you're trying to show results and showing how it's affecting change.
Right. Now, this is a very specific example for a very specific industry, but really the core idea is if your product's mechanism of action is complex, if you're doing something sophisticated that you're going to need a metaphor to explain or some sort of visual explanation in order for it all to connect, you're going to want to use an animation. And whether we're talking, you know, in a sales context, in a marketing context, I mean, you name it, the core idea is if you have a complex idea and you explain it to someone and their eyes kind of glaze over a little bit, you probably need some pretty pictures.
Yeah, I agree. I know that you led the project for AAA, our client. We did for them 45 animation videos. Is that number right?
It was 43 in the end because we canceled one because the product went away. And then one of the videos we did was the testimonial. So we made 44 total videos, 43 animated.
And that one testimonial video that wasn't animated, that's when we filmed with the kids.
Right.
Okay, I was on set that day. That was a fun project.
Yeah.
All right, so we explained like basically 45 different business units or different products or services for AAA in their own services overview video that was all done in animation, which basically coalesced the big ideas in really simple to digest visuals.
Right. And so that was a situation where to get that many videos shot live with that many scripts and that much talent, it would have been obscene. But if we could create a certain set of characters and scenes inside the animation and repurpose those assets over and over and over and over again with small changes and modifications to those characters and settings, we were able to create those 43 animation videos for substantially less than it would have costed to film all of that live action. But so pricing can factor into the decision-making process when you're choosing between animation or Q&A, you know, on the very low end, or animation and a highly produced video on the high end. And so there's a lot of leapfrogging that takes place when you're thinking about different types of animation compared to an equivalent level or caliber of production for live action.
Yep.
So on the very low end, if I could sit you down for a day and just get you to record 8 videos, just talking to the camera without scripts, those are going to be the cheapest videos you're going to get.
Right.
But stepping up from there, there's probably going to be some kind of animation at scale where you're using the same parts, but creating lots and lots of different animations with those parts. So that would be a situation where you might save some money by using animation as opposed to having a whole bunch of highly produced video shoots. Then you move up a little bit further in sort of the price spectrum and you're looking at, okay, well, now we're trying to make a commercial or like a really go big, like hero moment mm-hmm. ad where we're trying to build a big list of people or drive a big amount of awareness. in those contexts, you're either going to need a highly produced video that tells a great story, something like the Squatty Potties, the Dollar Shave Clubs of the world, something great that tells a story. Oftentimes, you're going to have multiple settings, multiple talents, more sophisticated scripts and sets. So you're going to end up paying a lot for that, usually as a pass-through, right? It's not like, you know, you end up paying for time, you end up paying for equipment, you pay for things, right? Talent. In that context, where you're telling a more sophisticated story, you're going to save money by using character animations. This is what we did with Redirect Health. Mm-hmm. Instead of telling a really sophisticated story in 12 different locations with 7 or 8 different actors, we just made an animation video with multiple characters, multiple voices, and it was substantially more cost-effective.
Yeah, now, if I remember correctly, with the AAA project, I think I lost you for a couple of months because you were in writing mode.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely a long project.
44, 43 animation videos that all needed to be scripted out. How long did the writing on that type of a project take?
I would say for an average script at the beginning, it was probably taking about a day.
Yeah.
Towards the end, it was probably taking more like a few hours because mm-hmm. you start to get a sense of what the client likes, what they don't like.
You also start getting the voice of the characters, right?
Oh, yeah, right. All of the voice, the cadences, the flow, the direction that the videos take, they all start to sort of template out a little bit, which is helpful. It's structurally templated, not necessarily reusing lines or anything like that. But yeah, it definitely gets easier as you practice working with a particular client.
Now, one of the advantages of animation is the longevity. You know, it's easier to update over time. If messaging changes, you can modify it. If the product or service evolves, it's easy to jam new words into the cartoon character's mouth, right? Because you don't have to get the lips to match, right? They're cartoon characters.
My favorite question is when we come back from a shoot and we deliver a rough cut to a client and they say...
And this is live action.
This is live action. We deliver a rough cut. The client says, well, can't you just make him say insert phrase?
Right.
No, we can't.
Right. but that's why we get all those scripts approved before we go out and shoot,
right?
Because it mitigates the can't you just do this after the fact,
right? We also try to make sure that a member of our client's team is in the room if we're using anything that's not scripted, so like a Q&A, mm-hmm. to ensure that the message is going to line up when we get to post production. It's just sometimes people, you know, video's new, video's complex, and sometimes people don't pay attention to that instruction the first time, but they definitely pay attention to that instruction after they've made that mistake.
Yep. But the more complex the legal review is or the medical review, the more you have to rely on scripting.
Right.
Right.
And oftentimes that means extra rounds of revision during, you know, pre-production. But I also think that, you know, there are situations where a client will come to us where they're setting up an ad campaign, for example, and they're going to use 90% of this video over and over and over again. But 10% of this video is going to need to be changed and updated all the time.
Right.
In those cases, we're using animation, right? In a case where a client is launching a new product and it's probably going to go through some design changes or some messaging changes.
Yeah.
We work with a lot of startups that are trying to launch a product. In those cases, you know that the messaging is going to evolve. And so it makes a lot more sense to use something like a voiceover with B-roll, unless the product is physically going to change. In which case, you're going to use product shots, like stills, in the short term with voiceover to tell the story. That way, it's very easy to swap out the elements that have changed.
All right, I want to hit you with a pop quiz on this versus that. Animation versus live action. If somebody says to you, and I don't want you to answer right away, okay? So I know you're going to know the answer, but I want to let the audience process and come up with their own answer.
I thought
first.
You were quizzing me.
Oh, I am.
You were looking at me when you said it.
I am going to quiz you. Marcus, if the client tells you that they want to create a video and then use it in multiple languages, live action or animation?
animation.
No, no, you're supposed to wait for the audience to come up with
you're looking
idea.
At me and waving your arms.
Okay.
Like, you're so excited.
But that's the deal. I mean, you've got to understand that if somebody's going to be trying to... I know, after all that said, botches it. But after all that type of conversation from the client, where they're telling you what they're going to use it for, then it's easy to know which path to take them down, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's an advantage for animation. What about attention span?
Yeah, so this one's a little bit more nuanced because you could consider this an advantage of animation, but I think we're going to also sort of address this as a disadvantage in a different way. But the attention span, when you're watching an animated video, there's this really interesting thing that happens inside of the human brain. There's a part like at the very back center of the brain
that makes you want to eat Pop-Tarts.
That makes you want to eat Pop-Tarts.
Like Saturday morning.
It makes you want
cartoons.
To. It makes you want to scream when you see spiders. That makes you want to run away from snakes. That makes you see movement in the background when you're paying attention to something else.
Right.
That part of your brain is consistent across the animal kingdom. Anything from reptiles to mammals to humans. And it's pure reaction. It just simply is reacting to stimuli, and you don't think about it. It's completely subconscious, but that is the most powerful part of the human brain, which makes sense because it's the part that keeps us alive. But what that part of the brain does is it fixates on motion as a survival mechanism, which makes sense. You walk through a forest, you see some motion, it could save your life, right? Now we just get anxiety. But back in the day, it could save your life. And so we're programmed at some level to seek out motion and to identify the source of the motion. So when you're using an animated video and there's constant motion on screen, what that is doing is it's pulling your eyes around the screen based on the direction and the sequence of movement. That's directly tapping into a part of your brain that captures and maintains attention. So when you're creating an animated video, as long as you keep it moving, like not a webinar, right? It needs to keep moving. Yeah. Then you will hold people's eyes to the screen almost magnetically, mm-hmm. which makes animation a very powerful tool when you're telling a non-emotional message because you don't have something else to sort of hook people with, right? Okay. So when you're getting very logical, when you're trying to be just very clear, using an animation makes a lot of sense because you're going to hold their attention despite the lack of emotional resonance.
Okay.
So I think that's a big part of the distinction here because when we look at disadvantages, one of the things that you give up here is emotion, and that has its own attention-getting effects.
Yep, absolutely. Also with animation, it's easier to run split tests, and you can then optimize over time to make that video more and more effective in converting or whatever the goal is.
Right. You see a video, you put a video on a landing page you're running a lot of traffic to. You see that people are dropping off at the same spot. You might change that part of the video. Very easy to update when you're talking animation.
One of the things that you do really well, because you've worked with me so long, is you kind of sweep up behind me, okay? So when Marcus and I are in meetings, you know, one of us plays sweeper and the other one's leading. And so in this situation, I want to do a quick little summation of the advantages of animation, and then just carefully come up behind me and sweep up.
Sure.
Okay. So for animation, better at simplifying complex topics thanks to visual storytelling. An example that we use there is like a medical outcomes video. The quality control at lower costs when telling more sophisticated stories exists with animation videos better than live action. The longevity, it's easier to update, even modify, which also means that animations are easier to run split tests, like A-B tests, like we just talked about. And then attention span, the constant motion that happens. It keeps the eyes transfixed and helps you get more out of your message, like we did with AAA. There's one more before you sweep up. And that last one is... Oh, language translations. Did I miss anything?
No, that was perfect.
All right, so those are the big advantages, but what do you miss out on when you use animation? Like, what are the disadvantages that people should know about animation?
Sure, and you can almost look at this as like the disadvantages of animation or the advantages of live action. Because again, it's two sides of the same coin.
Right.
But the first, and I think this is perhaps the most important, is the emotional impact. Now, I'm not trying to say that an animation video cannot be emotional. I'm simply saying...
When did you cry at a cartoon? Like, never?
Dude, you clearly haven't ever seen Lion King. Lion King, oh, yeah, for sure.
You're right. You're right.
Now I have to go watch Lion King. But
you need a good cry.
And sometimes you just need a good cry. So the biggest thing with that you give up with an animated video is you're going to lose a lot of emotional impact, a lot of the resonance that you're going to get with a live action. You know, what a lot of people do hear is that 90% of the human brain is devoted to visual processing. What you don't often hear is the evolutionary psychology reason why. Like, why is our brain so devoted to visual processing? And a big part of that...
I know why. I grew up on the beach.
Oh, I, yeah.
I mean,
you
I
know.
Clearly know why. But you go ahead.
Yeah.
Humor me.
I will just dive into the science here, but I know that you know from the many days spent on the beach, for sure.
Clearly.
So the reason that evolutionary psychologists believe that such a large percentage of our brain is devoted to visual processing is that it allows us to read the emotions on the people around us. It's all about reading faces and picking up on social cues that happen at a subconscious level. And so when the ads that use faces, right? They've always worked better. Using a face in a graphic on your website that's pointing at in a direction.
Yeah.
Faces, we always look for faces first, and then we evaluate the expressions and the emotions on those faces, and then we usually partially mimic the reactions on those faces. So if someone is raising their eyebrows and frowning, you might not frown too, but you might raise your eyebrow a little bit. Right. And then once that happens, you start sending emotional signals through the body that changes your emotional state at like a hormonal level.
Especially if you have muscular eyebrows.
Especially if your eyebrows are really muscular. Yeah. But
do you know that joke? Okay. Yeah. Sorry. You know the joke?
No.
You don't? Oh.
No, I just agreed with you because you're my boss.
Yeah, pretty much. It's the Todd Hartley blooper video. Where I'm on camera and they took the outtakes and I don't know what, but I went on a rant about how muscular my eyebrows were because I was leaving it hanging, leaving one up a lot higher. So why don't we just put that on the show notes page? You can find out about my muscular eyebrows.
So what's interesting about this is when a psychologist looks at someone who has a sort of a social deficit, something like autism, usually people who have those types of social disabilities have challenges with mimicry. They don't read and mimic the expressions on other people's faces, so then they don't have the same emotional reaction. I know this is a lot of science here, but the important thing to understand is that the human face is one of the most enriching experiences that a human could have when it comes to emotion and fostering it in others.
It's so funny you bring this up because I'm in the process right now of rebuilding the Wirebuzz introduction pitch deck. And I went on Friday to Chicago to the biggest cancer conference of the year. And every 30 minutes I had another meeting with an existing or a new client. And so I got to pressure test the new pitch deck, which was invaluable to me because while I did it, I really looked at facial reactions, at how engaged their eyes were, what their eyebrows were doing or their body language. And when I was done pitching it every 30 minutes for 2 days, I realized, ooh, there are some big glaring errors, but what a value that was to pressure test it, right?
See, and here I thought that you weren't capable of that kind of social reading.
Dude.
What? I'm just kidding. mic drop. I'm walking away now. So I think that one of the biggest things you give up when you go to full animation, you don't put someone on camera, is you're really going to lose a lot of that mimicry, that emotion, that experience that really makes your solution a priority. And we talk about emotion a lot. It's one of the four superpowers of video. It's obviously not unique to live action. You can be emotional in an animation video, but you do give up something when you do so. So that's, I would say that generally speaking, if you need an emotional video, you know, something that's going to make your solution a bigger priority, something that people are going to want to take action on sooner, then I would say live action is usually going to be better. Direct response marketers have been evaluating that for a long time. They've used animation, they've used live action, and one of the things they've discovered is that just getting an expert on camera, super authentic, telling you what they think, tends to convert better than animation, even though animations tend to hold people's attention a little bit longer.
All right, so that then brings us to attention span. You know, emotional facial expressions have been shown to accelerate attention engagement and prolong disengagement. But this assumes, of course, that your talent is telling a story or really delivering content that evokes emotion, and that your talent delivers their lines with appropriate facial expressions, which, you know, is one of the things that I always do when I'm on a shoot. Is I always am telling people on our team, you can't take your eyes off the person that we're filming, because as soon as you take your eyes off, the emotional connection from them changes. They could get muscular eyebrows, and before you know it, there's a disconnect in that emotional engagement. I mean, all of those things are really important when trying to maximize the impact.
Yeah, yeah. And this is the other side of the attention issue that we talked about that was an advantage to animation. So obviously, when you're sitting there talking to camera, you know, if you're quote unquote droning on, then you're going to lose people's attention. You don't have the same just natural hook that the motion has with the animation. But if you are effectively using facial expressions and you are telling a story or delivering a message that people resonate with emotionally, talking about solving painful problems, talking about helping them acquire desired benefits, you know, those types of things, using evocative language, and then as you mentioned, using appropriate facial expressions to work with that language. If you are able to do that, then you don't really miss out on much in terms of attention span loss from animation. So on the one hand, with animation, you're going to hold people's attention just because of the motion. With live action, you hold people's attention on the basis of emotion, not motion.
Yeah. Okay. I could see that. But one of the disadvantages of animation is cheap animation that makes it feel cartoony.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
It gives somebody a, it's not really a believable vibe.
Yeah, and I would say that to this point, and we bring this up with clients a lot, especially when it's a close decision. It's like, we could make an animation that tells this story, or we could do a live action that tells this story. Both fit our budget. We can do either one. Which should we decide? We almost always will defer towards live action because motion creates priority, and it's not cartoony.
Yep.
Right? But if... I would say being cartoony is not the worst thing ever. People laugh at cartoons. People can smile at cartoons and feel sad by cartoons. So you can do it. I would just say that animation with characters will always be cartoony. And if you can avoid that, I would.
All right. And the final one is trust. Look, if you have a physical product, showing it in real life can make a huge difference. Procter & Gamble built an empire on the basis of product demonstration videos that show proof, really proof of the results or what the value proposition is, showing it in action. And also, people want to do business with people that they have relationships with. Nobody's building a relationship with your animated video, right? Except like your kid when they get to Disneyland and they get to see a Disney character. They've built a relationship, but no adult that's got money in their pocket.
Have you seen Gaston?
Don't say it. Aladdin?
No.
What's it from?
Gaston is Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast. Okay,
so,
sorry.
So there was this little girl.
My Disney handle has slipped.
I know. You know what? It's okay because I grew up with these movies and so did you. So you don't have an excuse. But Gaston, the live action character.
Nobody drinks like Gaston, eats like Gaston.
Yes, that's right, the one. Right, yeah, right, you got it. You got it. His character at Disney World is
he's a stud.
Amazing.
Yeah.
He He's very entertaining viral videos of this guy talking about like bad mouthing the Beast to little girls who are like, no, you're bad. And the Beast is great. They're going to fall in love.
Is that authorized? What? I mean, is this guy doing a, is he doing this kind of conversation with kids on Disney's behalf because he's in character?
He's in character. He's even in the Gaston suit.
Yeah.
And like the parents are there. There's like all these people watching and he's having a debate with this little girl about the merits of the Beast.
All right. So those are the disadvantages of animation. You know, seems pretty balanced. Like they both have distinct uses. How do you decide when it makes sense to use animation? I think we kind of covered that, but let's refresh for everybody.
Yeah, like maybe sort of a decision tree. So how do you make this precise decision? So in many cases, the decision is made for you, right? If you're going to do a testimonial, obviously it's going to be live action.
Not doing a cartoon testimonial.
That would be weird.
Yeah.
Similarly, if you're featuring a brand personality, right? So for example, here at Wirebuzz, our lovable expert is Todd. And so if we're not going to put you on camera, then we are not building relationships at scale the way that we want to. Mm-hmm. So if your brand is providing a service, if you're doing knowledge work, if your expertise is part of the reason why people do business with your company, then you might decide that even though this specific topic might be better animated, the cumulative effect of putting our expert on camera over and over again is worth more than that. So that might be part of the decision making. You might also need to decide if you're going to be in it's like a sales context or a marketing context, which is to say, you generally are going to need to be more emotional during a sales context than you will during a marketing context.
Yep.
It's harder. People's gloves are up. You need to connect with them at a deeper, more emotional level in order to pull them through that information. So those are some of the big things, but pricing might be a big part of the criteria. As we discussed earlier, if you're looking at the very lowest costs, you're going to go live action, Q&A, unscripted. If you're looking for a high-end professional video,
that could go either way.
Could go either way. Depends on the scope of the work. If you're looking at something very creative, especially things that are telling stories, multiple locations, multiple actors, you're usually going to get more out of animation unless your budget can justify live action. You need a larger audience to justify live action at that size, or you're going to need a bigger promotion budget so that that exposure element overcomes the additional cost. You need the efficiency and the exposure to get you more ROI than the cost savings you would get from going animation.
Okay.
That makes sense.
I could see that.
So that's criteria one, right? You're going to have to make a business decision about budget and price. If you're going to be updating stuff all of the time, that's going to make the decision for you. But if you're sort of still on the fence after those, then there is a couple other criteria that I think are really helpful. The one, and this has sort of been littered throughout, is emotion versus clarity. If the most important thing for this piece of information you're trying to get your prospects to consume is just, I need them to understand this. I need them really to understand this. Then you might use animation. If your primary goal is to get them to take a specific action after watching this video, then you're probably going to want to use live action. Because the one is going to foster more emotion and the other is going to foster enhanced clarity. These are different tools. You're not going to use your flatheads when you need a Phillips. It just doesn't make sense. And then the third is persuading versus convincing. This is a little bit similar to the first criteria, but I think that it's really helpful in a different set of contexts. So sometimes your problem is that people don't value your product. They don't value the solution that you're offering enough to climb up their priority list. If that's the case, you might have convinced them that your solution is a good idea, but you've not persuaded them to take action. In a persuasion context, you're generally going to use live action more because of that emotional impact. On the other hand, sometimes people understand that the problem is really big, or they understand that the solution is really valuable, but they don't believe you. And when they don't believe you and they don't get it and they haven't wrapped their minds around it, you might want to use the animation because you can simplify that entire, like the entire context in which your solution lives.
Okay, that's all super helpful. And we're going to throw one monkey wrench into this. There are times when you want to use live action and then support it with animation.
I love it.
Right?
Yes.
Which is really interesting, because now what you're doing is you're almost using the animation as B-roll. So when your live action, your person's talking to the camera and they're explaining something, you then get back into the art of showing while somebody's telling. And now you've got something that's a really strong, compelling way of blending the two. And there's the anomaly between when to use live action and when to use animation.
In debate, we call that a permutation.
Beautiful.
Do both.
Do both. All right, Marcus, great information. We talked to you about the advantages and the disadvantages of animation and live action. And ultimately, at the end of the day, you know what your product or service is, and you'll be able to figure out which type of video is right for your goals. Marcus Krieg, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast.
Thanks for having me back.
You know, recognizing that generating an ROI is ultimately the goal of any video project, at least it should be for a business video. And as such, we've created a mini course that you can use to learn our secrets for using video to generate ROI. You can access to that free mini course. It's 5 parts featuring yours truly, and you can get access to it by going to wirebuzz.com/ROI, like return on investment. Got it? If this podcast episode was valuable to you, well, go to iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play and hit that subscribe button. Leave a really honest rating and review. And if there's somebody you're rooting for, make sure you share this podcast with them. I'd really appreciate it. And they'd appreciate it, because ultimately our goal is to help you generate more revenue using the power of, well, the most powerful tool on the internet, which is video. And if you want an easy way to remember 93, well, in 93, David Letterman announced that his show was moving from NBC to CBS. A frequent guest on that show, Howard Stern. Well, the Howard Stern show began transmitting to Buffalo, New York in 1993. And, well, Mario Lemieux announced that he was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. All of that happened in 1993. To get access to the show notes page, wirebuzz.com/93. All right, all right. So that's episode 93. Thank you so much for joining us. If you've got any news or information that you want us to talk about on this podcast, if there's anybody you'd like me to interview that's doing something absolutely remarkable with video in the context of marketing for businesses, wirebuzz.com/pitch with a P. Hit me up, drop it in there. It'll go directly to my machine, wirebuzz.com/pitch. And this week, and this week only, if you follow me on Twitter and you're a new follower, I will reply back with a video, a handheld video of me giving you a tip. I'll send it directly to you, but it's only going to be available. I'm only going to do this 1 week, and it'll be this 1 week from when the episode posts to when the next episode posts. And that'll happen if you hit me up on Twitter. All right. I look forward to giving you more information. And my goal is what it's always been: really smart digital marketing information, how to use video so you can be a video marketing master.